We are thankful for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you are a part of our congregation today, and we're trusting the Lord will make our service a real blessing to you. We're opening our service with the selection, Are You Washed in the Blood? Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for that cleansing blood, that power that saves from all sin. And we know that it is because your love, the gift of your dear Son, the gift of His life, that we have the privilege today of having life in Christ. And we're thankful for the privilege of being able to share this gospel message with this precious people today. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast is reaching, the Holy Spirit will be there to bless hearts and to bless lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day, but not everyone believes that he died for everyone. We think about the doctrine of predestination, or what is commonly called the Calvinistic theory, and they have five main points. First of all, predestination, and second, limited atonement, number three, moral necessity, and number four, irresistible of saving grace, and number five, the absolute final perseverance of believers. Now, I'm not going to take time to deal with all of these on the broadcast today, but I do want to comment on this fifth one, the absolute final perseverance of believers. I will not take time, as I say, to comment on all of these, but let us look for a moment at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had spiritual life. God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he did the same for Eve after he had made her. He breathed into her the breath of life. So both of them had spiritual life. But God told them, after he had planted the garden eastward in Eden and put them there, he told them that they should not eat of the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, for if they did, they would die. In the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. And we know they ate, and we know they died. And I say they had spiritual life, but they lost it by sin. God said, all souls are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. The Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations, and the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he has trespassed. And in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Ezekiel 18:24. We also read in Ezekiel 33, if the righteous turn or trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. For his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die. That's Ezekiel 33:13. A righteous person has spiritual life, but if he knowingly sins, he shall die. The wages of sin is death. In opposition to what is called the Calvinistic theory, we have what is called the Arminian position. Number one, conditionality of salvation. Number two, universality of the atonement. Number three, moral freedom. Number four, responsibility of grace. And number five, possibility of final apostasy. The Bible position is Christ died for all mankind. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. If Jesus Christ died for all, then all could be saved. And the scripture I have just read tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. There is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that Jesus died for all. So again I say, if he died for all can be saved. 1 John 2:2 tells us Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that is, the world of people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. The gospel is to be preached to all, according to Mark 16:15 and 16. The Lord gave the apostles and the church the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so it is God's will that salvation would come to all. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ezekiel 33:11. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, verse 9. Not one person has died in sin in the will of God. Let me repeat that. Not one person has died in the will of God. Everyone who dies in sin does so by their own choice, and it is not the will of God. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying that he would gather them together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under their wings. But they would not. In other words, Jesus was telling them that he would spare them from the destruction that was coming upon them if they would only accept him as the Messiah. But because they rejected him, their house was left unto them desolate. And that came to pass in AD 68 through 70. The idea that once one is saved, could have never lost his salvation, or would never lose his salvation, is false. By Judas, Peter said of him, he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Notice this, Peter and the others were there in the upper room, and they were discussing who was going to take Judas's place. And Jesus said there in regard to that Judas, he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. And Jesus gave Judas, power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to preach the gospel, just like he did the other 11. And he went forth doing that until he allowed sin to come into his heart. And he by transgression fell. And Peter says so here in the first chapter of the book of Acts. They must find someone to take his place, that he may take the part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. And Judas had to have something before he could fall. And he had power with God. He had spiritual life. But whenever he became covetous and betrayed the master, or even before he betrayed the master, he had lost his spiritual life, and sin had entered his heart, and he carried out the sinful act of betraying the Lord Jesus. One preacher said in regard to Judas that if he was ever saved, he is in heaven now. I don't know how blind people can be. Peter said that Judas, by transgressing the law of God, he fell. In other words, he lost spiritual life. Joshua challenged Israel. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the other side of the river, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if predestination was right, and God predetermined before he ever made the world who was going to be saved and who was not, then Joshua's challenge to the children of Israel means absolutely nothing. But Joshua challenged them to make a decision as to whether they were going to serve those idols or whether they were going to serve the true and the living God. If it seem evil in your sight to serve the Lord, then you choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, our choice is to serve the Lord. We read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith chapter, verses 24, 25, and 26, that when Moses came of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses chose. Yes, Moses had the ability to choose. These predestination people claim that you don't have the power to choose. Then what do these scriptures mean? As to the irresistibility of saving grace, and once saved, always saved, we have already pointed out that how Judas fell by transgression. And of course, known transgression is sin, and sin brings death, not life. Further, proof is given by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. You have to be in the faith before you can depart from the faith. And the Spirit of God said, some shall depart from the faith. Now, you can't depart from the faith and still be a Christian and still have spiritual life. That's impossible. The Hebrew writer wrote, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. How can a person drift away unless they are there? How can a person lose spiritual life unless he has it? You have to have spiritual life before you can lose it. And the wages of sin is death. In the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. Christ told the congregation at Ephesus, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come and remove your candlestick, except you repent." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. There we see Christ gave them a choice. He told them that they were to repent. And if they did not repent, then he was going to come and remove the candlestick from them. And if the candlestick was removed from them, they were no longer children of God. They were backsliders. Solomon was a godly, humble man in his early days. And God was with him, and God gave him revelations, and God used him in a mighty way in the earlier part of his life. But when he was old and he had married foreign women, the Bible tells us that those strange women turned his heart away from God, and he even built heathen temples there in Jerusalem and went to worship with those heathen wives and worship their heathen gods. And so Solomon turned away from God and lost favor with God and lost his spiritual life. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, O house of Israel. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Ezekiel 18, verses 31 and 32. Now notice these two verses of Scripture, and notice how God gives them a choice. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, O house of Israel. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these truths with this precious people today, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit to bear witness to what has been presented, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We do invite you to be with us in our services, for they are broadcast live over the Internet. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service at 6. Our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, This is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of the Lord rest and abide upon each and every one of you.